We come now to hear God's word from the scriptures. We have three passages of scripture to hear together. The first comes from Isaiah chapter 9, in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. And then we're going to read a verse from Colossians chapter 1, and then a small section from Matthew chapter 9. You can see them on the overhead above. Let us pray before we read God's word. Father, we thank you that you are still today the living God, the creator, the sustainer, the one who rules and guides the nations. And even us today, we thank you that you speak to our hearts through the Bible, through the preaching and teaching of the Bible. We pray that you would bless this time, the public reading of scripture and preaching, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, and then verses 6 and 7. Isaiah the prophet was announcing, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Then we turn to the New Testament. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. If you look in your pew Bible, that's page 1143. The Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the church. And he says, as he explains the purpose of his ministry, he explains concerning the nations, the Gentiles, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And then finally we turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" This is the word of our Lord. Now may God also bless the preaching of his word to us today. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be here to the Bethesda Church family. It's good to see a lot of good faces. Yeah, Pastor Chris told me that he is leaving. It is sad because, you know, we both lack some hair, and also today we both wear blue. Sure, yeah, we have a lot in common. But we wish him a blessing in people of Saskatoon in that church. And thank God for Pastor Mark. He is a great friend of mine, and he is in down the United States. And one good thing about, he has a lot of gifts and a lot of good things, But one good thing about Pastor Mark is that he preaches the Word of God. That's very important. He preaches the Word of God. And he is a person that can be your friend. It is a great gift that he has. And may God bless him as he is in there. He wanted to meet his son. Yes. My wife, Miriam, sends her greetings. She's at work today at St. Boniface Hospital. Yesterday, when she came back home, she showed me she had 17,000 steps she walked yesterday. Okay? I barely make 6,000. It's my limit. And she walked for 4 or 5 hours. She walked 17,000. Yeah, that she loves that work. And she was working there for the last 19 years, and she loves to serve the community, to serve patients. And this is where God called her. We thank God for work that we all have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have had another Black Friday. I mean a different Black Friday. London, England experienced a terrorist attack on Friday. One of the people stabbed to death in Friday's attack in London Bridge, at London Bridge, has been named as 25 years old University of Cambridge graduate Jack Merritt. He was one of two people killed when 28 years old Osman Khan launched the attack at the Cambridge University Conference on Prisoner Rehabilitations. Khan, who had been jailed over a terror plot, was shot dead by police after members of the public restrained him. A woman died in the attack, and three others were injured. You see, these terrorist attacks happen because individuals live in the darkness and without hope. When people are hopeless and live in the darkness, then they try to harm themselves and others. That's sad. Now, another side of Black Friday, sales. On Black Friday, an average Canadian said that they plan to spend $792 this year, up from $675 in 2018. In the U.S., an average American spent $1,007 in 2018. Americans spent $717 billion on Black Friday in 2018. When I'm saying this, it doesn't mean that Pastor Mark went for shopping in the United States. No. He is in good hand. But consumer culture can be broadly defined as a culture where social status, values, and activities are centered on the consumption of goods and services. In other words, in consumer culture, a large part of what we do, what we value, and how you are defined resolve around your consumption of stuff. That's what the consumer culture is. Some of us also buy on Black Friday. Nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But the base for consumer culture is to put our hope on stuff. That's the base. Hundreds of years before Christ, there was a prophet. Israelites were living in the darkness. God spoke through Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 9, verse 2 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." This verse told people of Israel that the change is coming. The change is coming. You see, people of Israel were waiting for this light for thousands of years. For thousands of years, they were waiting. And Isaiah prophesied that the change is coming. Verse 6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In this verse, God talks about the Messiah, who will transform the darkness to light, despair to joy, and war to peace. I came from a war-torn country. We saw a lot of war and challenges and despair. And also, even in our own town, Winnipeg, there are violence. There are a lot of things happening almost every day. You turn the news, almost every day something is happening. There are a lot of despair. In the first part of this verse, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. Some Christians love Christmas and the fact that child is born. They never think that this child grew. They love the Christmas time, the gifts, they unpack Jesus Christ, the Savior, and Christmas over, they put it back in the box. Next year, come back. Luke says, 252, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of the Messiah. The child will be born into the family of King David in Bethlehem. The Messiah will also be a son, capital S, that is given. Jesus, the Messiah, was in heaven. He came down to earth. The word son with small s is a title for the kings, according to 2 Samuel 7:14. Or also, Prophet Daniel saw a vision about the son with the capital S, son of man, in Daniel 7:9 14. Use the term son of man. Sonship of Jesus is a huge problem for other religions, including Islam. But we shouldn't be worried. It's their problem. It's not ours. We believe in him. Being Son of God is Jesus' identity. Matthew 13:16-17 says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. You see, this verse tells and proves us that Jesus' identity as the Son of God declared before he did any teaching or miracles. He was Son of God not because of his miracles. Miracles and teachings and all, it was all his ministry. But his identity was the Son of God and is the Son of God. The prophecy that government will be upon his shoulder will come to complete reality at his second coming. An aspect of the messianic prophecies that the prophets did not see. For now, his kingdom is invisible. What it means, it's his kingdom reigns through us, through follower of Jesus in this earth. Anywhere, in Canada, Winnipeg, in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and anywhere, his kingdom reigns through us. It is invisible. People know, we might not see it, but they will, one day, when he returns, they will see his kingdom. Wow, this is called the hope now and for the future. We have hope now, and it is going to the future as well. In the ancient Near East or Egypt, kings had titles. The titles for Egyptian kings were man-made titles and temporary. Even some of our friends in the South, they want to have those titles for kings as well. But the judge said, president is not a king. And Canadian prime minister is not a king either. But those times, Egyptian kings, they had titles. Let's see titles in Isaiah 9, verse 6. These are Messiah's titles, and they are permanent. They are permanent. First, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor means no confusion. No confusion. How much confusion exists in the world today? Confusion about identity. Confusion about the rights of unborn. And many more confusions. People aren't confused, especially younger generation. They are confused. what to do, what is next. They're confused. They don't know. But with this wonderful counselor, no more confusion. No more confusion. There is no confusion with wonderful counselor. Jesus is the wisdom of God. As you see on the news every day that people in the Middle East are confused. People in Afghanistan are confused because their religion does not work. All the laws and rules are according to the Sharia law in Afghanistan and Iran. But this Sharia law can change or transform people. Only Jesus, wonderful counselor, can transform the confusion to confidence. This is what, when we preach the word of God to Afghans and Persians, they tell us that when they believe in Jesus, then confusion is gone. They have confidence in him. From a child to young to old people, confusion is gone. Mighty God, another title, means no chaos. No chaos. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says. You see a lot of chaos nowadays in the world. And the reason is simple. Either they don't want to believe in the mighty God, or they didn't hear the gospel. Everlasting Father, no complexity. Hebrews 1:10-12 says, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they all will come old like a garment. And like a mantle, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to the end." Everlasting God. Wow. That's everlasting God. Could you believe it that he came to the earth? This is the title of Jesus. Everlasting God, the one who existed from eternity. He came to the earth. And the Bible says, John says, that we saw him, we touched him, and we heard him. Prince of Peace. It means no conflict. You know, when I grew up in Afghanistan, when I was grade 3, when I one day went outside and there was machine guns and artillery, army in Kabul, Afghanistan. That's more than 40 years ago. Since then, Afghanistan did not see peace. And I did not have peace either. But when we believed in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, then no conflicts. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." We have peace of God not because of our own understanding or because of our own work or how much we pray or how much we do, read or whatever, but we have peace with God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And this Messiah title for Jesus is different than any other king. Jesus is the Messiah, a cross-bearing son and a cross-bearing king. This is the Bible says. He is a cross-bearing king. You know, the kings, what they want? They want power, they want money, they want all whatever they can to crush others, to bring order for their own. But Jesus is the only one that he is a cross-bearing king and cross-bearing son with a capital S. You know, Isaiah was in the other side of cross. And thousands of people, millions of people, like Isaiah, even prophets, they wish that they were in this side of cross. But thank God that we are in this side of cross. Thank God that we are not hopeless. And here's what Colossians says, 1:27. "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles, all of us, too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Thank God that he is in us, the hope of glory. The question is, should we wait and do nothing till Jesus comes? Or for his second coming? Or what is our task to continue the ministry of Isaiah? What is our task? During the history, last 2,000 years, sometimes Christians really, they took these some things literally, and they closed themselves in different places and start praying and waiting for Jesus. But we know that as of yet, he didn't show up. He might come in the next second or minutes, or next year, or next century. But what we gonna do? I think tell the world that Jesus the Messiah is the only hope for us and for the world. This is our task for today. We are ambassadors of Christ in our families, in our workplace, in our church, in our community, and to the end of the earth. We are ambassadors. This can be in our own church, can be in our own family, or to our enemies. Or when the Bible says, go preach the gospel to the end of the earth, we usually think end of the earth, it must be New Zealand or Australia. This is our mind set up. But end of the earth can also be next door neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. Yes, it can be next street, can be next town. Wonderful Counselor, His Word, the Bible, and Holy Spirit. You know, what we have to do is to tell the others that Jesus is a wonderful Counselor. Where it says? In the Bible. And His Spirit tells us. We have to tell others that He is the mighty God. All power given to Jesus. We should trust Him. All power, He says, belong to Him. We should trust Him. Everlasting Father, we should tell the world that He is. Stability, that we know He is sovereign Lord. He is sovereign Lord. Believe it or not, all of us, we have stories that we can testify that Jesus is sovereign Lord. He makes things where there is impossible to do things. And I had an accident in one of those slippy road in Winnipeg last year along the firmer, and I was not speeding, although Miriam says that I am not a good driver, but I should say I'm a decent one. She has more merits than me, but anyway, but I was driving around 50-60, but somehow it was slippery and my car out of hand, I couldn't control. And there was a snowbank, and then my car jumped over the snowbank. And when I was in the air, then somehow the Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, I do not know how to pray. And it's landed, and I hit the tree there, and I got up, everything is okay. The ambulance came and they checked, are you sure that everything is okay? Yes, I said everything is okay. And then I got this talk, and that the following Sunday I had to preach in Bethel Community Church. And I was thinking, this is the sovereignty of the Lord. If I was supposed to be on Sunday in that church, no one could stop the Lord. They tried to stop me, but they couldn't stop the Lord. And this is the sovereignty of God that we all experience in our life. Let's unpack the task in a practical way. Matthew 9:35-38 says, Jesus traveled through all towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to his fields." You see, all starts with Jesus and his good news about the kingdom. Here is a couple words that I would like to get your attention. It says, Jesus healed all kind of disease and illness. Jesus healed all. It's interesting. No one else in the world can claim this one. Jesus healed them all, everything. And he can heal us all now as well. And everything, whatever challenges we are going through life, he can heal us. Because he is sovereign. He has the power. And he here says, healed them all. And the word said that he was all the towns and villages. In other words, he wanted us, his followers, to go to all towns and villages in the world and preach his gospel. Jesus is the healer. He heals us from our sins. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. He can heal all our challenges, diseases, everything we face now, and also he can do it everywhere. But he also says, he says to his disciples, he says, you go and you can do more. You can do more, greater miracles. Yes, this is giving to all of us that we can go to our neighbor, to our enemies, to anywhere and claim his healing. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had compassion. You know what is the shortest verse in the Bible? John 11:35. Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, that the most meaningful one as well. Jesus wept. When he sees the challenges that people are going in Afghanistan, corruption, drugs, and all these things, Jesus weeps. When he sees that people, innocent people, are killed, he weeps. Jesus wept. And he also wanted us to weep with those who are going through challenges. He wanted us to weep with them, together. This is called compassion. He weeps when he sees that his people are suffering. He weeps when he hears that his people are persecuted around the world. Now, another part says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. One of our viewers called and said that he lives in Iran as a refugee. But Jesus appeared to him and Jesus told him, go to Afghanistan and build my church. He called us through the live show. And here I am. I have to answer him, yeah? And he's what I should do. And in one hand, I'm afraid that if he goes back to Afghanistan, he might be killed or whatever. And in other hand, I'm telling myself who I am, to tell him not to go to Afghanistan if the Lord Jesus told him. I told him, okay, be careful, we bless you. 2 weeks later, he called back. He says, I am in Afghanistan. This is prayer. Pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send more workers to Afghanistan, to Iran and Pakistan, to those places where people live in the darkness. More workers are needed. We received a missed call from a number to our show, and then our friend Farhad, he called that person, and here's what that person says. Says, he is a believer with his wife and three daughters living in Herat province. He asked, I and my family, including my wife, all of us want to get baptized. How it is possible? Please, if you know someone in Herat who would help us. This is how God works. He is the Lord of the harvest. These people believed in Jesus, and now we need workers to go there and baptize them. These workers, they didn't do anything. Anyone who will baptize them, that person did nothing. It's God did everything. You see, in the West, usually churches, they ask people to get baptized. Usually happens. Hey, who want to be baptized? Hey, you are a believer for 10 years. Come on, get baptized. But when God works, then people are asking to get baptized. How many of you watched the Bombers game with the Rough Riders? Yeah, quite a bit. You know, I watched it with Benjamin together. Both teams had 4 seconds in the end. Yes? We all agree? 4 seconds in the end. Both teams had only 4 seconds. But we all knew that one will win and the other will lose. 4 seconds, and they both teams tried their best to win. Finally, we all know Bombers won. I was thinking, we don't know how many seconds we have. 4 seconds, 4 minutes, 4 hours, 4 weeks, 4 months, or 4 years. We do not know. Can we try our best to serve Him, to bring His hope where there is needed, to go extra mile, to love someone that we don't like, to serve someone in our community, in our church? But you never know. You never know when Jesus will come. He might come in the next 4 seconds. He might not show up in the next 4 years. But as we all have this 4 seconds, let's try our best to serve Him, to love Him, and to serve and love others. Thank you, and the Lord bless you.